Okay, we're beginning here with the new perek and the Mishnah on the top of Samach Chedem and Aleph. Mishnah begins, Behima hamikashadeh deid, a animal that is having trouble giving birth, Votzi ha'ubar et yado, and the fetus that's inside extends its foreleg out, Vechziro, and then pulls it back in, Mutar b'achila, permissible to eat it. Question of what the Mishnah is referring to will be discussed in the Gemara. What is Mutar b'achila? Votzi et rosho, on the other hand, if this fetus has its head come out, afal pishech zero, even if the head returns inside the animal, harizeh kiyolod, there's the equivalent of being born already, and we'll see what its status is again. Sounds like it's asur. We'll see what exactly the asur mutar is over here. Now, chutech me'ubar shibimeha, it's actually a gemara that we had earlier in the Nun Hei. The gemara quoted this mishnah, that a person who cuts up the ubar inside of the animal, mutar b'achila, and afterwards shechs the mother, then anything that's found inside the mother is considered to be kasher, and therefore even this dismembered fetus that's inside will be included in all that's heter inside of the mother, and therefore it'll be mutar b'achila. Minat chol min haklayot, on the other hand, if you cut from the spleen or the kidneys, these two are chosen, and this is why the Gemara was discussing it back on Nun Hei, is because they do not make the animal a treifa. Even if the spleen is cut, or even if the clayot are cut, or not there, the animal is not a treifa. So if one slices a piece off of the tchol, or the clayot, meaning reached into the animal and cut these, while the animal is still alive, then the shchita, asur b'achila. Those pieces that have been cut off of the animal are asur b'achila, even if they remain inside the animal. As opposed to the ubar, the fetus that remains inside the mother after it's cut off, that will be nitari, the shchita of the mother. Nevertheless, when it comes to these organs, if they are cut up prior to the death of the mother, prior to the shechita of the mother, even though they remain inside the mother, they will not be mutar, the pieces that were cut off. And we'll see the distinction as gzeirat hakatuv, by one is included, one is not included. We'll see that in the Gemara. Ze haklal, this is the basic principle. Davar shebegufa, anything that has a part and parcel of the mother, asur, is problematic. If it is cut off prior to the shechita will not be matirat. On the other hand, she'ino gufa, something that is not directly connected to the body, in a derivative of the body, like the fetus, that'll be mutar ayadei the shechita of the mother. So now we're going to have a machloket amoraim as to what the word mutar means in the Gemara. We say that the fetus extended its forearm out of the animal, and then it retracted it. What's the status of the animal, and what's the status of that foreleg that went out? So we have machloket amoraim, had to read the Mishnah, the first of which is, we'll see right now, and the second we'll see on the second half of today's daf. So I'm Rav Yehuda Marav. Ve'ever atzmo asur. So according to Rav Yehuda Marav, the aver that extended outside of the animal, that for sure is asur. My taima. Damar kra, the pasuk says clearly, u'basar v'sadeh treifa lo tochelu. When it comes to items that extend beyond their boundaries, they are considered to be like a treifa, and they're asur v'achila. So this pasuk is used broadly for any time there is a mechitza, any time there's a boundary, and we go outside of that boundary, it becomes asur, or it's restricted because of this pasuk. Kodshim, kalim, that leave the azara when they're doing the shkita, or they leave the chomot yushalayim after they are being ne'achal, when they're being eaten. Kodshi kodashim, that are brought outside of the azara after their shkita, that's their makom achila, so if you take it outside, that's called basar basadeh, you're breaking out of the boundary. So to over here, the boundaries of the fetus are inside the mother. If he breaks out of the boundaries there of the mother, then that item or that part of the fetus becomes asur because of this pasuk basar basadeh treifa lo tochelu. Kevin sheyatza basar chutz lemechitzato, as long as the flesh, the animal leaves its boundary, nesar becomes problematic. So we're going to ask now from our Mishnah. It's not mekasha leleit v'utzia uber tzedo v'chziro mutar b'achila. My love, when I say mutar b'achila over here, what is it referencing? There is the antecedent of mutar l'achila is not clear here. Is it referencing back to the ubar itself, or is it referencing the forearm that was extended? So my lava iver. So the Gemara says maybe it's talking about the limb itself, which would be against the position of Yudam Arav. The Gemara says no, a ubar. Same with the fetus. The fetus is mutar b'achila, but that iver remains asur b'achila. The Gemara says I ubar mayuria. You're talking about the fetus itself. What's the big deal here? Echziro. Why do you have to take it back in? Even if you didn't retract the forearm, the ubar would be mutar b'achila. In the Mishnah, what's the relevance of the fact that he brought the forearm back inside of the womb, back inside of the animal? Either way, the halacha is going to be that the fetus is mutar, and the aver is asur. So why did the Mishnah go out of its way to tell us that the animal retracted its forearm, even if it left its forearm extended, and the shechita was done? Nevertheless, the mubar would be mutar b'chila, and the aver would be asur. That should be a bigger chiddush to tell us if it didn't retract it. Mar says, hu adin, afagav t'lo yachziro. So the Mar says, okay, the din is true, you're right, in ochanami. Even if it didn't take its forearm back in, it would still be mutar b'chila. So then why did it write yachziro, that it returned it? V'aydi dekob boi mitna seifo, because of the latter half of the Mishnah that had to teach us, hotziyat rosho, afal pish yachziro. Because there it was important when its head is extended, when its head came out, even if it retracted its head, it's as if the animal was born. So there it's relevant because over there, even if it takes it back, even if it retracts and the head goes back into the womb of the animal, nevertheless, then the ubar is asur. So the chiddush is not in the ratio, but rather in the seifa. In the seifa of the Mishnah, where it tells us that the extension, the head going out of the animal, is a done deal, meaning it's animal's born, and it cannot be retracted even if it goes back inside. So there's the chiddush of X0. And the ratio, you're right, Ein Ochanami, it doesn't matter if he pulls it back, doesn't pull it back. The ubar will be mutar, the ev will be asur. So Tananami ratio, for the parallel structure, in the ratio it also said X0, where it says, v'seifa maikamashman. So I explained that the seifa is a chiddush, that even when it retracts the head, it still considers if it's born. But the Gemara says, okay, is that really true? Is that really a chiddush? Is that something we need to learn out of our Mishnah? Maika mashmalon, what is it teaching us? Came into Yotza Roshar Vile Leida. It's going to teach us that when the head extends out of the behema, is born, that makes the animal as if it's completely born and it cannot be retracted. Is that the information? Is that the chiddush that our Mishnah is teaching us? Well, Tanina, we've already learned that. Ezuhu b'chor l'nachla, v'ezuhu v'enu b'chor l'kohanim. So we'll get to this in a little bit of time at the end of Kodashim, which is b'chorot. When it comes to b'chorot, there are two different types of b'chor, two types of firstborn. There's a firstborn, which is the firstborn of Kedusha, the firstborn that the Torah mentions in terms of redeeming the firstborn because of the fact that the firstborn were killed in Mitzrayim and not the Jewish firstborn. So that pidyon b'chor, that Kedushat b'chor, is one type of b'chorah. On the other hand, there's a second type of b'chor, which is called b'chor l'nachala. And that's what we find in Parshat Ki Teitze, which is that the eldest son has the privilege, or the zchut, of receiving two times all the other brothers in the Yerusha. So that's the pishnayim, we call it. So the b'chor l'nachala, the b'chor of inheritance, who gets pishnayim in his father's possessions. So those are two different types of b'chor. The requirements to become a b'chor for pidyon b'chor and a b'chor l'nachla are actually different. One of them, as the Torah explicitly says, is peterechem. Has to be the first one that leaves the womb, that comes out of the woman. And therefore, the determination of whether one is a b'chor for kohanim, the b'chor for pidyon b'chor, is whether it was peterechem or not peterechem. On the other hand, the b'chor l'nachla has to do with whether the father connects with that b'chor. The drasha, we'll see this in when we get to b'chorot, but the drasha is misha leiv aviv davelav, that one which his father's heart is drawn after that child. So it has to be a live-born child, a child that has chance of survival, and that the father will connect with. If it's just a fetus, if it's a miscarriage, the father's connection to that child is not strong enough, and therefore, he does not become a b'chor l'nachla. So the Mishnah, there in b'chorot, actually goes through all the different types of permutations, where a child can be a b'chor l'nachla and b'chor the pidyon, b'chor l'kohanim, case where it's neither, case where it's b'chor l'nachla, not b'chor the pidyon or the kohanim, in a case where it's b'chor l'kohanim and not b'chor l'nachla. So here's one of those permutations. Ezu b'chor l'nachla. This is a child that is born that will get two times in his father's possessions, v'ein b'chor the kohanim. But he will not require pidyon b'chor. Haba achar nifelim, if he is born after a miscarriage. So here, born after a miscarriage, the first child or fetus that didn't make it to gestation and was miscarried, that was the peterechem. Since that was the peterechem, that would have been the b'chor the kohanim. Now, the second child that is born, and the child that is born after the miscarriage, that child will no longer be classified as a pet terechem, so he's not a bechor lekohanim. On the other hand, he is the firstborn child that will survive or be a viable child, and therefore he will be bechor lenachla. So next, avo pishi yatzar rosho chai, o ben tesh yatzar rosho mate. So here's a case where, in the miscarriage, even though the child came out alive, but since it was a nafel, it did not reach gestation. Therefore, it wasn't considered to be a viable child. So even if though it head came out alive, oh, ben tesh yatzar rosho mate, or even a fetus that was carried to full gestation, but it came out, it was a stillborn, its head came out dead. In that case, there is no peterechem on the next child that is born, but he will be a bechor lenachla because the first two children are not considered to be born. But what you can be medayek out of this is taimo derosho meit. The reason that the child is not considered a bechor lenachla, the first child is not considered a bechor lenachla, is because it was stillborn. It came out as a mate. Ha rosho chai, had it come out alive, the head is at full gestation, the head had come out alive. Ha bachrav, bechor lenachla nami lo habi. Then the child that is born afterwards would not even be a bechor lenachla, because here you had a birth of a viable child. The head came out, the child was alive at that time. So we see from that, that the head leaving the womb of the mother is enough to consider it as if it's born. So you're telling me the chiddush of our Mishnah is that if the head comes out, the fetus is considered to be totally born. I have that from the Mishnah in Bechorot. It's explicit that, sorry, we're inferring it from there, but it seems almost obvious that it's only when it's a stillborn is it considered a Bechor the Kohanim, but not a Bechor the Nachla. But otherwise, if the head of the child came out alive, it would be both a Bechor the Kohanim and a Bechor the Nachla, and if it did not survive, there would be no Bechor for Kohanim and no Bechor the Nachla. The child born afterwards would have neither status of Bechor. But we see from that that the head coming out of the woman is considered as birth. V'chi teima. Do you want to suggest that Shemina ba'adam v'kamashlan be'ema? But over there, Bechorot is talking about human birth, and over here in our mission, we're talking about animal birth. And maybe there should be a distinction between them. That by human birth, we would have a different din by animal birth. Along comes our mission that tells us, no, the din is exactly the same. Just like by a human birth, the head is enough to be considered as if it's born. So too, by the animal birth, it's enough to be considered born when the head comes out. Because I would suggest that you cannot learn out human beings from behemot. Dein puzdor the behema. Because behema does not have the same features as the human being. And an animal you will learn out of a individual, because of the facial features. So what we're saying is that there is actually a distinction that we would draw between humans and animals. We would not just say the birth of a human being and the birth of an animal are equivalent. The difference derives from, first of all, human beings, the face of a human being, the head of a human being is extremely significant. If the way that one is identified, it is the public personality of the individual, and it's such a significant part of the human being, maybe there we would say that the birth of a human being, because of its head coming out, that is so significant that that's why it's considered yilod, that's why it's considered as if it was birthed. Whereas by an animal, since the face of the animal or the body of the animal are all considered to be, in the same sense, one, it's not so significant, the facial features of the animal, and therefore maybe the head extending out will not be considered a birth. That's one difference between them. And the other way is true as well. Over here, the Gemara uses the term puzdor. Puzdor, for instance, in the Gemara Nida and other places, is the birthing canal, the vaginal canal. Yet over here, Rashi and Tosafot also mentions this, say that the puzdor that we're talking about here is different. It's not the puzdor that's mentioned in the Gemara Nida, but rather the puzdor that is mentioned over here is the difference in the birthing of a human being versus the birthing of an animal. When it comes to an animal, immediately upon the fetus's exiting of the mother, the animal is visible. There is nothing covering up the area of birth. The animal comes out of its mother, and it's immediately visible. Whereas by the woman, as Rashi says, and Tosafot say here, Yerachayim, her thighs cover up the baby exiting the mother. And therefore, it takes, quote-unquote, longer for there to be an exit from the mother than there is from the behemah. So again, maybe the other way we would say that there's a difference. By Behemot, since the head is visible right away, as soon as it comes out, that will be considered a birth. Whereas by human beings, since the thighs of the woman cover up the fetus coming out, therefore maybe when the head comes out, it's still not significant because it really hasn't come into visibility yet. So that would be the havamina that you would have, that there should be such a difference between animals and human beings. So Hanami Tanina, that we also have explicitly in our Mishnah, that there is no difference between humans and Behemot. Even though there is, these differences are true, nevertheless, the din is not different when it comes to Leida. So ya sheyatzta miksata, a placenta, that a portion of it had exited or been discharged, asura ba'achila, kesiman vlad bi'isha, that is problematic ba'achila, because it's the equivalent of a sign of birth by a woman. Kach siman vlad bebema. So too, it is a sign of birth by the animal. So this equivalence that's drawn between the animal and the human being, number one, it tells us that that distinction that we wanted to suggest is not true. Number two, this Mishnah is indicative of the fact that even by animals, the head is considered to be a birth. And that is because when the shaliah, when the placenta exits the woman, or the shaliah leaves the animal, we assume that inside of that shaliah was the head. So even though the entirety of the fetus did not exit, but because the shaliah left the animal or left the mother, we assume within that shaliah, within that which was discharged from the woman or the beima, within it were choshesh that the head or a portion of the head was inside of there. And because of that, it would be considered a full birth. And so when we see a shaliah comes out, it's a siman of birth. It's an indication that there was a birth here because we assume that the head came out in that birth or that discharge, and so too by the behemah. So you see from that Mishnah, and you see from that equation, that number one, the same way that we are choshesh by a human being for the shaliah, so too we are choshesh by the behemah. The chol chashash here is whether the head came out. And so we see there is this equivalence between the birth of an animal and the birth of a human being. And that also teaches us that the head coming out by Behema is considered birth. So I also have that in a Mishnah. I don't need our Mishnah over here to teach me that information. I already have that information from this other Mishnah. Now the Gemara goes back now and says, okay, if you go back and you say in our Mishnah that the echziro, the retracting of the arm, and the resha is dafko, and the mutar b'achila would mean that even the iver is mutar b'achila, then turn the seifa to resha. Then I can say the seifa talked about echziro. Even though there it's not relevant, we know that already, that once the head comes out, it's a full birth, and you don't have the going back or retracting it is irrelevant. We know that already from the Mishnayot in Bechorot, and the later on in our Gemara. So we don't need any new information from the Seifa. So the Reisha is the thing that's teaching us the Chiddush. Chiddush is that that Eiver, when it's retracted, would be Mutar. So then I can understand, because of the Reisha, I wrote the Seifa. Eli Amart Lo. The resha davka, below the seifa davka. If you say that the resha has no relevance, hechziro is not relevant to the resha because the eiver will never be mutar b'achila. The hechziro of the seifa is not relevant because we already know that if the head comes out, that's considered birth. Then, v'amalei the mitnei klal. What do I need the word hechziro in our Mishnah whatsoever? You could have just left it out, and that information would not have been missing. I mean, it wouldn't have helped us, or it would not have detracted from the Mishnah whatsoever. So Gemara says, though, the olam aubar, that it's referring to the fetus itself. Ugda amar of Nachum bar Yitzchak, lo nitzrucha l'makom chatach. We need it for the location of the cut. Achanami lo nitzrucha l'makom chatach. We only need for the place or location of the cut. Rav Nachman will see later in today's daf. But basically, when it comes down to the fact that Rabbi Yehuda Mara believes that this aver that had come out of the mother is asur, then once you open up the mother and take out this fetus, which is mutar b'achila, except for this aver, you're going to have to cut away the aver that is asur. When you cut away the aver that is asur, how much do you have to cut away? Well, that depends on whether the animal retracted its arm or did not retract its arm. If the animal did not retract its forearm, then when you cut it, you can be mitzamtzem. If the animal did not retract its forearm, then when you cut it, you cannot cut it exactly along the line of where the extension is. You have to go a little more inward. You have to go a little more inward and cut from the area that is mutar in order to ensure that everything's out. On the other hand, if the animal retracted its forearm, and went back inside of the womb, then when you cut it, you can cut it exactly along the area or the line where it was. So the nafka mina between whether the animal retracted its form or did not retract its form is exact on the cut. How much do I have to cut, or how far do I have to go in to cut it? If it retracts its forearm, I can cut it exactly along the line, the division between its forearm being out and the remainder of the animal that's inside. If it does not retract it, then I have to actually cut a little more from the arm than is actually visible on the outside. And that is because when the forearm is extended, a portion of the forearm is at the mouth of the birthing canal, of the vaginal canal, and that section that is actually still looks like it's inside is really classified as being outside because that's not considered babehima, inside of the animal, and that's why we'll demand of you to cut further back than the area that has extended out. So Gemara says, Tashma, behema mekasha lelei dotzi ubar et yado b'yachziro, v'achal kach shachat edimo. So here we have a behema that is difficult to give birth. The fetus extends its forearm out, v'yachzira, then retracts it, v'achal kach shachat edimo, and then he shech the mother, mutar b'achila. Again, the ambiguous mutar b'achila. We don't know what the antecedent is. Shechat edimo, v'achal kach zira, on the other hand, he did the shkita, and then afterwards the animal retracted its arm, asur b'achila. Then it's a asur b'achila. Again, what is the antecedent? That's what the Gemara is going to discuss. Otzi et yado b'chatcho. Extended its arm out, and he cut it off. V'achal kach shechat edimo. And then only afterwards he did shkita on the mother, shebachutz tamei. Whatever is outside the mother is classified like Eber Min Achai. And Eber Min Achai has the same din as Eber Min Nevela. It has Tumat Nevela to it. And therefore will be Tamei. Ve'asur. Shebifnim, Tahor, Umutar. Whatever remains inside is both Tahor and Mutar. Shechat Dimo v'achachachatcho. On the other hand, if he shechs the mother and then only afterwards cuts it, Habasar Magan Nevela. That's what remains inside is considered, and the animal itself is considered to be Magan Nevela. Divi Rabbi Meir Chachamim, may Magad Trefa Shchuta. Classified as touching a Trefa that was Nishchat. The Gemara will ask him, what is that? A din of a Trefa Shchuta is Tehora. Because a Trefa that you do Shchita on, the Shchita is Mitaheret, Otami De Tuma. So the Gemara will ask what exactly this means. The Gemara is going to ask to dissect this Braita. Ktani Miha. Let's go back to the Resha. Hotziya Boratu Yodo, if the Uber extended its hand out, the forearm out, Bechziva, and then retracted it. And only afterwards did he do the shechita, mutar b'achila. So mutar b'achila, again, what's the antecedent? My lava iver, it's referring to that limb that extended out. It says, lo ubar. Now it's talking about the fetus itself. The limb will remain asur, like Rav Yehuda Marav, but the ubar, the fetus, will be mutar. So ia ubar, if we're talking about the fetus, ema sefer, then we can do the next line in the braita. Shechat the dimo, if he does the shechita, the mother, v'achal kach zero, and then he retracts the limb, asur ba'achila. What's asur ba'achila here? Ia ubar, if you're talking about the fetus, am I asur? Why is it asur ba'achila? Even Rav Yehuda Marav agrees in both these cases, that the ubar itself is mutar b'achila. The only thing that's asur is the limb that went out. Whether it was retracted or not, the limb is asur. The ubar is mutar b'achila. But if you're going to read the mutar b'achila and asur b'achila to reference the ubar here, the fetus, and not the limb itself, then you end up with this illogical conclusion from the Mishnah, which would be that if the ubar retracted its arm beforehand, then it's mutar b'achila. If it left its arm out, then the whole ubar would be asur b'achila. So that can't be the explanation of it. Gemara says, no. Kedamer of Nachman by Yitzchak, we're in use from Nachman by Yitzchak, lo nitzurcha l'makom chatach, achanami no nitzurcha l'makom chatach. The mutar and the asur over here are referencing the area of the cut, just like we said before in our Mishnah, that'll be the chiddush of our Mishnah. So over here, the mutar and asur b'achila are the location of where you sever the forearm. If it retracts the forearm, then you can cut it right along the lines, exactly where that was outside and that which was inside, and you can slice that line along and it'll be fine. On the other hand, if the arm remains on the outside, then not only do you have to cut off that which was on the outside, you have to cut a little further in, further up on the leg, because, again, of that sat in the Beit HaRechem, that sat right at the exit from the mother. Since that was not considered babayma inside the mother, it also is asur, and we have to cut a little further back on the arm. So the mutar and the asur over here is talking about that very, very small amount that you have to cut further back on the arm. And that's what the mutar and the asur are about. Is that really true? He came along with a braita or a mishnah with him. Parsa hechzir achol. Parsot hechzir achol. So the word parsa and parsot come from the pasuk of mafris parsa. So parsa is one leg, and prasot would be two legs. So parsa, if one arm went out, echzir, and he was retracted, achol, eat it. Prasot, if two legs came out, echzir, and then he retracted them, achol. So my love, echzir, parsa, achol, parsa. What does it mean? That if one arm came out, and he retracted the one arm, eat that, you can eat that forearm. Lo, echzir, parsa, achol, ubar. No, if he retracts the forearm, you can eat the remainder of the animal. The forearm always remains problematic. So when it says, ubar, my area, echzir. Why do you have to tell me that he retracted it? Even if he didn't retract it, it would be fine. So this is the original statement of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, that it comes to teach us about the makom chatach, the location of the cut. So it comes to teach us that the parsa, that leg, that forearm that went out and then was retracted, when it's retracted, the makom chatach can be exactly what was outside. Whereas, if it remains on the outside when you do the shechita, you have to cut a little further up on the forearm. Gemara says, okay, that's very nice explanation of the first line of the that breita that he brought. Vatrei karai kanasayv lo. He brought down a breita that had two limudim, one from parsa and one from prasot. One that came out of a single forearm coming out, and the other one coming out of two arms, two forearms coming out, both of the legs coming out. Well, if that's the case, why do I need the first part of the Mishnah? If you already tell me when the two legs come out and you retract them that it's fine, why do you have to teach me about one leg at all? So Mara says, isn't it my lab, chad the eber v'chad the makom chatach? Must be that there are two chidushim in that breita. One chidush is that the eber itself, the limb itself that went out and was returned, is mutar. Chad makom chatach. And the other one is for the location of the cut. On the location of the cut, that will be mutar. And that's the chidush. That's why I need parsa and parsot. Mas says, well, chad makom chatach, v'chad the cloth b'mei para. Now one comes to teach you about the location of the cut, and one comes to teach us about this unusual case. The unusual case is that you have a fetus that is born to a kosher animal, but it does not have, the fetus does not have split hooves. It's kolot. They are connected, rounded, like that of the gamal, of the camel. It does not have a split hoof. So there is a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim with regards to an animal that is born without split hooves, that is born to a kosher animal. According to the Chachamim, the Rabbanan, even if it's fully born, even if the fetus comes out of the mother, that animal is kosher, because it was born to a kosher mother. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Shimon, if it's born and has a rounded hoof, it does not have a split hoof. Again, like a camel, like a horse, their hooves are rounded out, there is no split hoof over there. So since it's born without a split hoof, it's not a kosher animal. Right, it doesn't go all the way through. Right, it has a piece of skin that sits between the two pieces of the camel's foot, but it's not considered to be, as the Torah says, it has malegerahu about farsalo yifris by the camel. Fars is a completely rounded out hoof where there's no split whatsoever. So here, Rabbi Shimon and Chachamim disagree when the animal's born. When the fetus is found inside of the behema, inside of the animal, of course, for the Chachamim, it's kosher, because even if it was born, it'd be kosher. For Rabbi Shimon, that's the chiddush over here. The chiddush, according to Rabbi Shimon, is that if this fetus was born without a split hoof, it would not be kosher. But if it remains inside of the mother, and you do shechita on the mother, it would be nitar yedei shechita. That's the chiddush over here. And that's the two chiddushim. Chad echad makom chatach. One that comes to teach us the din of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. And v'chal, the kolot b'mei para v'libid Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbi Shimon, kolot ben para asura. When you come out, a unsplit hoof animal that is born to a para, kosher animal, asur. That's only if it was actually born. If the fetus remained inside of the mother and the mother was nishchat, shari, that is mutar. So now, the Gemara now went through all of these, I call them exercises and difficulties to explain the position of Rabbi Yehuda Marav, which is that our Mishnah means when the animal extends its forearm and then retracts it, that the forearm remains a sur, but the ubar is mutar, and that was the explanation of Yehuda Marav. And then we had to do all sorts of gymnastics to make sure that it fit into all these different breitot and mishnayot and chidushim that we needed all the way along. Now we have a different amora and a different opinion, which is ulama Rabbi Yochanan. Eiver atzmo mutar. The eiver itself is even mutar. When the animal retracts its arm back in and you do shechita, not only is the fetus itself mutar, the eiver that extended out is also mutar. So he's arguing on Yehuda Marav. So Rav Yehuda, who brings the memra of Rav, who disagrees, says the Ulo is bringing the member of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yehuda, we know, is a Talmud of both Rav and Shmuel. Over here, he quotes the same Rav, but he's also a Talmud of Shmuel. So Rabbi Yehuda says, I know that Rav and Shmuel both say, Aver Atzmo Asur. The Aver itself is Asur. Samalei, he says back to him, Man, Yoivon, Afro, the Rabbi Shmuel, Malina Neinain. Who will give us from the dust of the earth that's in front of Rav and Shmuel and we put into our eyes? On the other hand, I have what Rabbi Yochanan says. Everything was included in the pasuk. Then anything that goes out of its mechitza will have an isur achila, just like this forearm of the animal should have been included in that. When the pasuk went out of its way to tell you by chatat, that a chatat leaves its location, v'chazra, comes back out as asur. Only the chatat has the isur, because that was enumerated explicit in the Torah. But kol mile, anything else, came in the hadur, shari, anything else that is retracted, goes back to its original location, will be okay. So chatat, the din by chatat is, kol chatat, shenichnas midama pnima, any chatat that has its blood taken into the heichal, that chatat becomes psula. That we know from the Chatat that was brought in Parshat Shmini by Aaron Uvanav, the Moshe questions why did they burn it? Sarov Saraf, why did they burn the Seir Chatat? And one of the questions he asks is, Em Hivavu Demar Pnima, was its blood brought inside of the Eichal? The implications for that were, even though the blood was now outside, once it was brought in, it made the animal into a psula, made it a Chatat a psula, and it would have to be burnt, even though the blood came out. So the teaching, or what that teaches you is, that when we talk about leaving a mechitza being a problem, that's only true if it remains outside the mechitza. If you return it to inside of the mechitza, it will not be a problem. So that is true. Why? Because the Torah explicitly tells us one place, the chatat, where even when you bring it back in, bring it out afterwards, it's no good. When you bring it into the heichal and then you take it back out, it remains no good. So that's the only place where it's no good when you bring it back to its original location. Everywhere else, if it went back to the original status, then it would be fine. And that's true here as well. The arm or the leg that extended out and then returned to inside the mother will be fine. It will not be a restriction of Basar B'Sadeh Trefalo Tochelu because it's no longer outside of its mechitza. It came back inside of its mechitza. If that's what he's saying, you know what? It's wonderful that Rav and Shmuel said this. Why, if we could learn from them again, it would be wonderful. But I have a Mesora from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that Basar B'Sadeh Trefalo Tochelu only applies if it didn't return to its original location. If it returns to its original location, it'll be fine, with the exception of the Chatat. So Meitavei, Basar B'Sadeh Trefalo Tochelu Matam Lomar, Lefishim Atzinu B'Maser Sheni U'Bikurim, Shafu Pishyatsu Michutz L'Michitza Dan V'Chazru Mutarim. That, by Maisu Sheni and Bikurim, if you bring them up to Yerushalayim, and then afterwards you take them out of Yerushalayim, you can still bring them back into Yerushalayim and eat them. They don't become Asurim because of that. Yochol Avzekein, you would think that everything else is true. Basar B'Sadeh, Trefalo Tochelu. Anything else that left of its Mechitza, you just return it back. Talmud Omer, Trefa. So it says, Trefa? No, there remains a Trefa. So my Talmudah, what is the Limud? What's the Chiddush? What is it teaching us? Amarabah ki Trefa. Ma Trefa came shim nitrefa shuv in la heter. Just like a Trefa, once it becomes a Trefa, you can't change it back to not being a Trefa. A Basar came and she yatsa chutz mechitza do, shuv in lo eter. So too, Basar, flesh that leaves its mechitza, that's whether it's talking about karbanot, or it's whether it's talking about a birth of an animal, once it leaves the mechitza that's in, shuv in lo heter, even if it retracts it, there is no more heter. Tiyufta dula, tiyufta. This is a very strong kasha against dula, because here we have an explicit braita, which seems to say that Basar basadeh trefei lo tochelo applies even when you retract it, even when it goes back to its original location, and that would be a problem from Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So now the Gemara dissects this bright a little bit. Amar Mar, Fishi Matzino Maiser Sheni Bikurim Heichan Matzino. Where do we find that the fact that by Maiser Sheni Bikurim that went into Yerushalayim and then left that they're okay? Tachtiv Lo Tuchal Echol Bisharecha Masar Deganchah. You're not allowed to eat. Last week's parsha, right? You're not allowed to eat Bisharecha in your locales, in your local area, neighborhood, the Maser and the Bechor. Bisharecha Lo Tuchal. The only restriction is you can't eat it where you live. But he left Yerushalayim, and then you eat in Yerushalayim, that's not called Bisharecha, and therefore it be Mutar. Be Marava Matnuhachi. In Eretz Israel, they learned this way. Rav Amar Yesh Lei Dalei Varim. Rav, which was quoted by Yehuda before, says that there is a birthing process for individual limbs. Rav Yochanan Amar Ein Lei Dalei Varim. that there is no birthing for individual limbs. So they formulated it in a different way. I mean, it's the same machlokus between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, but they formulated it in a different way. And the Gemara wants to know, my benayu, what's the nafkamina between the two lashonot? Between the lashon that we did until now, whether it's asur mutar v'achila versus whether it's considered birth or not birth. So you can benayu, the mesar miut aver shibibfnim. Do you have to take out, if a rove of an aver left, a rove of an organ left the animal, and the miut remains bifnim, what is the din of bifnim? That piece that's bifnim. If you say that the aver is considered born, then when the rove goes out, the miut goes with it, and you'll have to take off the whole aver, not just the part that went outside. On the other hand, if you look that it's mutar b'achila, asur b'achila, like we did the original lashonot that we had in Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, then whatever went out is asur, whatever's inside is mutar, and that would be the nafkamina between the two lashonot. So you buy the little dibi amari and leidale v'arim, according to one who says there is no birthing of individual limbs, Heitzia ubar tia dovech zira, that ubar that put its arm out and then took it back in. Bechazar v'letzia tia do, and then took another arm, not the same arm, the other arm out, vech zira. Ad shishlimu rubo, until rov of the ibarim had left. Mao, what's the din? Mi amrein and hanafkale rubo. Do we say at this point a rov is left, and therefore it's considered to be born? Odilma came into hadar hadar. Or maybe each time that you retract it, it resets the process and as if nothing was born. So Imtim Salomar, so the Gemara says Imtim Salomar means that's the way we're going to go, which is Kevin Da'adar Adar. Once the animal retracts them, they have no classification. I mean, it doesn't affect the entirety of the animal. And therefore, even if the rove exits piece by piece, it's not going to matter. Hotziya Ubar Tiyado B'chadcha. What happens if the Ubar extends its arm out and he cut it off? Chazar Hotziya Tiyado B'chadcha. Then he sticks out the other arm and then cuts it. Ad Shishlimu the Rubo. Until now, the rove that's found on the outside, Mahu. Miyam Rina Nad Nafik Le Rubo. Do we say now a rove of the animal is outside of the mother, so therefore it's born? Odelma Rubo B'bat Achad Beinon. Or maybe we need it to be born entirely in one shot. So which is it? And that we'll deal with tomorrow's daf. That we'll bring a brayta and we'll discuss this issue in tomorrow's daf. So we'll stop over here.